Yes, I tell you what, it's a sacred time when we're gathered together in His name. How many of you know that this is where we, you know, we come to the altar, we meet before God, we bring Him His sacrifices. It's a sacred, holy time. Amen. And whenever we're gathered in, you know, His name, we know that He is in the midst here with us. So are you ready to receive here today? Yes, folks. I see, you know, lots of people that, you know, kind of, you know, seem like you're dragging a little bit. I know that the weekends have been very active. There's a lot going on, things to do all week. Folks, when we come before the throne of God, let's bring our best. All right. And let's make sure that we're prepared to come into the house of God where we're just not so bogged down. Amen. That we bring our expectation, we bring our excitement to the house of God, because so many times we're spending all of our energy, everything out there, and then we have nothing left in here. Let's not let that be the case at Family Church. Amen. Well, you're ready for the Word of God here today? Turn with me over to Romans chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Today we're going to call this message the Covenant of Abraham. And if you were here Wednesday night, I preached along these lines. We're going to preach something similar. We're going to maybe touch on some of the same things we got to Wednesday with also, you know, some more that God has for us today. But we need to know and understand who we are. Listen, we're going to give you something today, again, that is the foundation of your faith. Why do you believe that God is going to move on your behalf? The Bible says that He's looking throughout this whole earth, searching to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. God has a plan to show His power to you. But how many of you know there's got to be somebody on this side that can receive that power? There's got to be something, you know, going on our part. We have a part to play if we're going to see the power of the Word of God, you know, be active in our life. And so we're going to go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 16. You know, I want to, again, just, I'll tell you what, I just can't get away from preaching this message right now about the blessing of Abraham, the covenant of Abraham. You know, if you had to sum up the Bible in 30 to 60 seconds, if someone came to you and said, hey, in 1 minute or less, tell me what the Bible is about, what would you say? Most Christians would say, well, the Bible, you know, is about, you know, Jesus coming to this earth and, you know, dying on the cross, raising again so that we can be saved and we can go to heaven. And that's a good answer, all right? There's nothing wrong with that. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to diminish that in any way. But I'm telling you, that is a very shallow answer, all right? Because, you know, God, you know, gets so much more specific. The Lord, the reason why Jesus came to this, you know, earth, the reason why He went to that cross, it's a little deeper than that. It's not just shallow. It's not just like, well, Jesus came so I can go to heaven to save me from hell. Yeah, that is certainly included, all right? But what He did, He came to this earth to lift the curse off your life. He came to put the blessing of God on your life. He came to redeem you and to put you in a place that gives you favor with the Heavenly Father. Amen. If you had to sum the Bible up in 1 minute or less, this is really, you know, a more specific answer. God, you know, the Bible is about God keeping His promises that He made to a man named Abraham about 4,000 to 4,500 years ago. God approached a man that He believed would be faithful, and God made promises to use that man and all of his descendants to bless the entire earth, to use that man's bloodline to bring a Savior into the world that would lift the curse, that would give us access and favor to God's heavenly throne, to bring power and victory to our lives. Amen. You could say it this way. If you had to sum up the Bible in one sentence, the Bible is about God's faithfulness to Abraham and his seed. All right. God said, I'm going to choose a royal family on this earth. I'm going to choose a bloodline, and I'm going to make promises to them, and I'm going to stay faithful to them throughout all the ages. And I'm going to use that bloodline to fill this earth with the good news of salvation. Amen. And so if you're part of the family, If you're walking in the family of Abraham, the blessing of God is yours. Amen. Go with me, though, before we go over there. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 16. And this, this scripture here is on my heart to start with. Paul, of course, by the Holy Ghost, is talking to the church at Rome. And he says this in verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Amen. He says, why don't you want to be ashamed of the gospel? He says, "For it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." I love that. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. That's what the word Greek means, all right? He says, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel, because if I act ashamed, I'm going to rob the power of it. You know, when we come into the house of God, when we lift hands, what is that? That's an opportunity to not be ashamed. That's an opportunity to tap into the power of God. Well, you know, I don't like that. That's not me. Well, be careful. Don't find yourself being ashamed of the gospel. Because that word power is where we get our English word for dynamite, right? JJ, dynamite, right? It means literally the miracle working power of God. So if you're hearing the gospel, you're hearing the gospel of power here today. And I guarantee you there's enough power in this gospel to save your soul, heal your body, pay your bills, deliver you from fear, get rid of anxiety, break addictions, destroy depression, restore your family, redeem your marriage. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we have a gospel of power? But notice who this power is for. It's for salvation. For it is the power of God unto salvation. See, when we see that word salvation, we start thinking of just going to heaven someday. But do you know that that's not what that word means? Salvation, yes, it includes going to heaven. See, in our mind, we just think that that's, you know, the end-all, be-all of the gospel. There's way more to it than that. That word salvation, now you know that the Bible, the New Testament, was not originally written in English. It was written in Greek. And Greek is a language that has far more meaning and depth than English. And so when the translators of the Bible into English, they would pick the best words that we had or know how, all right? And so they put the word salvation, but the Greek word salvation there is also the same English word for healing. It's the same word for deliverance. It's the same word for preservation, protection. So you could say it this way: the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, unto healing, unto preservation, unto deliverance. You could say it this way: this gospel is an all-encompassing life. That word there, salvation, it's also the word for well-being or welfare, okay? Not the social program, but welfare is talking about your needs fully supplied. So it is the gospel of salvation from sin, of healing in your body, deliverance from fear, anxiety, and depression, right? It is the gospel of full provision for your life. But notice that's all contained in the power of God in the gospel. But notice it doesn't just say for everyone. It says for everyone who believes. And now in the original Greek, we see the word believe and we think, well, I'm a believer, okay? I believe in Jesus, therefore I'm a believer. But that's, again, not what it's talking about. I sure hope you're a believer in Jesus. All right. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Okay. Well, you entered into this life of faith, but are you continuing in this life of faith? Because literally you could read this verse this way. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that be believing. Literally is what it says. I know that's not proper English, but we could say this one, unto those that live a life of believing. All right. And so it's not what you believed just when you accepted Christ. It's what do you believe today? What do you believe today? What are you going to keep believing? All right. You believed with your heart. You spoke with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. All right, you received that salvation, but what are you continuing to believe with your heart and speak with your mouth? Amen. Are you believing and saying every day, the Lord is my healer? Glory to God. Are you believing and saying, the Lord is my provider? Amen. All right, because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that keeps believing, everyone that lives a life of believing. All right. And so my question to you here today is, what is it that's going to make you believe that God is going to keep his promises to you every time? All right. What is the bedrock or the foundation of your faith to know that God's going to be faithful to you? Because a lot of times Christians are going to God, they're begging, they're weeping, Lord, where is it? Why don't I have it? Why is this happening to me? And they don't realize that that mentality says to God, you're not being faithful. That is not how we approach God. We approach God, if we'll know this and understand this, man, I'm telling you, I just know by the Spirit of God, it pleases him so much to hear that you're learning this stuff. Because Christians have kept it shallow. Well, I believe because I'm a believer. But, you know, like, I love how Pastor Scott Webb, he says that I know a lot of unbelieving believers. You might be a believer in Jesus, but you might be unbelieving when it comes to, you know, healing or provision or deliverance from fear and everything. All right, let's not be unbelieving believers. Or you might have believed in Christ and now you've let your faith go dormant. Well, you could become an unbelieving believer. All right, it's for the power is for those that keep believing. All right, and again, I'm asking you here today, what is it that gives you the assurance that God hears you and he's going to respond? Because he wants to. But we have to approach him with the knowledge of this covenant we are in. If you don't know what covenant is, it is the number one thing you must know about your Heavenly Father. He only and will ever only respond to covenant. All right? Covenant. Covenant is a life-binding relationship. It is like marriage, where you cannot do anything without considering them first. All right? Do you know what covenant is? God's first with me, and I'm first with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, where we were on Wednesday night, go to Galatians chapter 3 again. Go to Galatians chapter 3, and you're saying, Pastor, you just keep preaching these same, it almost seems like the same sermon. You preach this Wednesday. You preach something like it in Erie last night. Yeah, because faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. If you say, well, I've heard that already, you're not going to receive from it. All right? You've had spaghetti more than once in your life, haven't you? You've had a cheeseburger more than once, right? You've had escargot more than once in your life, right? Calamari and squid and all these fun things, right? You eat that stuff all the time. No. Well, maybe you do. More power to you. Hey, you're free in the New Testament, right? All right. Go to Galatians chapter 3, and again, we're going to look at who we are in this covenant, why God's going to be faithful, why, well, I'm telling you, if you got a burden today, if you'll believe what you hear, that burden's going to lift. If you're sitting there feeling like life is pressuring you, it feels like you're sinking in life, I'll tell you what, you're going to float back to the top today. Here's your answer for all things in life. Live out of this knowledge. Galatians chapter 3, let's start in verse 7. What does Abraham, a man who was on this earth almost 4,500 years ago, have to do with you? Because he's your dad. He's your dad. He's not your heavenly father. He's not your savior, but he is your dad of faith. And God, when he sees you, he sees Jesus and he sees Abraham. All right, you say, what does this guy have to do with me? Lived 4,500 years ago on the other side of the earth, never give a second thought to Abraham. That's why Christians don't receive. They think if we just cry enough, if we're just saved, you know, we think that just being saved is enough. No, you got to know. You got to know what the word calls you. Okay, here we go. Here's the knowledge of the covenant. If you ever want to know one thing about God, he responds to covenant. Oh, I love this. I love it, I love it. Even if I've preached it 1,000 times, well, here's 1,001. Verse 7, know you. Let's say that. Know ye, the King James says. Let's put it in English. You must know is literally how you would say that. This is what you must know. You must know, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And you know I'm going to come for you. Is there anybody in here that's of faith? Woo! All right. Yeah, we got most of you responding. And you know it's my personal pet peeve when ministers make me do stuff. So I'm getting revenge. Right? That they which are of faith, that's me. So what am I? I am a child of Abraham. That's why I said Abraham's dad. I say, Pastor, that's weird. Well, I'm saying it like that to get your attention, okay? That's how God sees you. When God looks at you, he's looking at you through the prism of his word. He does not look at you as depressed. He doesn't look at you as busted. He doesn't look at you at your hardships. He doesn't say, oh, look at, pick a name, you know. Look at, you know, Jim Bob over here or Billy Boy or look at Johnny or whoever. He doesn't look down and say, oh, look at, there's every name I call out, there's somebody in here with that name. And so I'm not trying to name people personally. You know, I don't look back down on Jim Bob and say, oh, there's Jim Bob the depressed. You know, there's Bobby Sue the whoever, you know. There's Daisy Duke the depressed. You know, there's Michael Knight from, you know, I'm using all these 80s TV shows names, right? Knight Rider. Come on. Anyone grow up on that? Oh, yeah. All right. You kids of the 80s, right? You could still remember the music. Anyway, we don't need to go there, right? And so when God looks at you and he looks at you, he's not saying, there's so-and-so the depressed. There's so-and-so the needy. There's so-and-so the, you know, the hurting. There's so he doesn't look at you through the prism of your problems. He looks at you through the prism of his word and says, there's a child of Abraham. So that's who you are. Now go down to verse 9. He says this. He says, so then, they which be of faith are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. When did your blessing enter this earth? 4,000 some years ago when it came to Abraham. And then, of course, you know, through the law, you know, people started to walk outside of the blessing. They were, you know, conscious of their sin and so on. And so why did Jesus come? To, you know, put that blessing on our lives. And we're going to take a look at that. So if we're of faith, we are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. Notice you are blessed, but do you always feel like it? Does it always look like it? Does that mean that every, you know, circumstance in life always seems blessed? Does it seem blessed when you lose your job? Does it seem blessed when a symptom tries to get on your body? Does it seem blessed when you're facing depression in your mind? No. But do those things remove the blessing? No, they don't. Notice, if you're down to your last nickel today and you're born again, guess what you are? Blessed. See, so many Christians, they're trying to get blessed when we're supposed to go to God and say, I am blessed. Because whether I've got a nickel in my pocket or a bank account full of money, the blessing didn't change. Oh, Pastor, I'm so blessed because I got the new job. I got paid more. Well, that's good. God, that is a blessing in life. But just know this, you were blessed when you had nothing. When me and my wife, when we were first married, living on peanut butter sandwiches, guess what? We were just as blessed then. As far as God is concerned. Because your blessing entered this earth long before you were ever here. Glory to God. So I am the child of Abraham, and I'm blessed with Abraham. Go to verse 13. How did we get blessed? Because we're not cursed. Christ has, past tense, already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, a reference to the cross. Why did Jesus come to hang on that cross for you? Well, he came to wash me of my sins so I can go to heaven someday. Yes, that's true. Okay, we're not diminishing that, but that's not specific. That's not covenant language like what the Bible uses, okay? All right? Jesus came to that and went to that cross to bear your curse. Because in our sin, we were cursed. Someone that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior is living with the curse. Oh, come on, the curse of sin, the curse of this world, the curse of the devil. I mean, you could describe that curse many ways, right? But Christ has redeemed us out of that curse. He became a curse on that cross, right? Because it's written, curses everyone that hangs on that cross. Notice the semicolon there, all right? Notice that? Because the sentence is not over. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Okay, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham. Notice the word blessed and the word blessing of Abraham. It's not talking about just nice little things that happen to you. It's not talking about, oh, I got the front parking spot. Oh, I'm blessed, because people were nice to me today. You know, the blessing of Abraham is a divine gift. It is a divine endowment that God puts on your life. When you got saved, it wasn't just like, well, I'm no longer, culpable of my sins. You know, I can stand before God. I'm going to go to heaven someday. No, God says, no, when you got saved, the blessing of Abraham has now been placed upon you, all right, that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I'm a child of Abraham. I'm blessed with faithful Abraham. And now the blessing of Abraham is on me. Is the blessing of Abraham on you? Just as much as it's on any preacher or any other believer, the blessing belongs to you. You're redeemed from the curse. And here's what the Bible says. You cannot curse that which God has blessed. This earth, this world, this society, the devil and every demon cannot put a curse on my life. Oh, come on. I don't have to live cursed. I don't have to believe cursed. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed. Are you blessed? Well, Pastor, I don't feel blessed. Pastor, but this happened in my life. You're still blessed. But this happened. You're blessed in that. You're blessed, blessed, blessed. Those things do not change God's mind. Amen. And of course, now go down there to verse 29, and we'll finish it up here in Galatians chapter 3. He says, and if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed or children and heirs according to the promise. Notice you've inherited something. How many of you know, we are living in the New Testament. What does the word testament mean? It means a will, a legal document explaining what now belongs to you through the death of a loved one. All right? Through the death of a loved one, you've received a will. And that's what we're doing today. We're looking into the will that Jesus left behind. And we found right here in Galatians article 3, paragraph 1, we've inherited the blessing of Abraham. I am so glad. I am so glad because we're going to look at what the blessing of Abraham is and what it does. All right? Now remember, this is on you. It is within you. It is upon your life. This is who you are. Why does it matter that you are blessed with Abraham? Why does it matter that you're the children of Abraham? Because that's who God is being faithful to. I'm going to say something that's going to rock you. It might shock some people. It makes some religious people mad at me. God is not listening to everybody. He's listening to who? The seed of Abraham. Now, God has invited the whole world to be in that family. Through Christ, everyone that calls upon Jesus will be saved and brought into that family. All right? But someone can call out to God, they can pray to God, they can seek God's faithfulness, but if they're not a child of Abraham, God is not doing a thing about it. Remember the Syrophoenician woman in the book of Mark? What is that? Mark chapter 7? Remember that? Remember? She came up and said, you know, she was not a Jew. She was not in the covenant. And she came up and said, Lord, you know, help my daughter. She's vexed with an evil spirit. Remember this? And Jesus said, no, I am called only but to the children of the Jews. You know? And remember, he said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to the dogs. Remember how Jesus said that? And remember what that woman said? She said, yes, Lord, or true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus looked at her and was astonished at her faith and said, all right, great is your faith, lady. You know, let it be done unto you according to your faith. Remember that? But Jesus said, I am in covenant with, that wasn't Jesus being rude. He's just limited. He was there to fulfill the promise to Abraham's seed. It wasn't that he was trying to reject that lady or trying to hurt her feelings or not care about her, but he's faithful to listen to the covenant that is with Abraham. But if, you know, so many Christians today, they don't even know that they are the seed of Abraham because no one's teaching them about it. Come on now. You're the seed of Abraham. You're in this covenant. You're blessed. And that means you have access to the Father. You're the ones that God is going to be faithful to. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Go with me now. Go with me to Genesis chapter 15. Now we're going to go a little bit different direction than we did Wednesday. We're going to see why you know that God is going to keep his promises to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 15. You're not ashamed of this gospel, are you? No, it is the power of God for those that keep believing. And what's going to keep me believing is knowing that no matter what happens in this life, the blessing of Abraham's on me. I'm blessed. And yeah, it's going to prevent a lot of stuff in your life. It's going to help you. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But we're going to start a little bit further in the story now and then perhaps go back. Go to Genesis chapter 15. And so at this point, God has approached Abraham. He has told him, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to make your name great. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed in you. That's us. That's us. All right? And so Abraham built an altar. God showed him the land. The land wasn't that great, but the blessing was there anyway. All right? You know, Abraham, you know, built an altar, went to Egypt. He came back, started living in the land. Him and Lot, his nephew, were living as neighbors. They had great herds and a lot of animals and such. And there was a strife between the two of them. Their herdsmen were fighting. And Abraham said, lest we get in strife with each other, you just pick, you know, what part of the land that you're going to live in. And then whatever direction you go, I'll just go the other way. So we'll make sure there's no strife. Remember that? And Lot picked the section towards Sodom. And then once Lot was gone, the Lord told Abraham, he said, all this land that you stand on is yours and your seed forever. Remember this? And so now God had told him, it's going to be you, your land and your children's land. But how many of you know that's an issue when you're 75 and have no children? But the Lord was already looking past the problem. All right. He wasn't saying, you're Abraham the childless. You're Abraham the lack of a son. He said, you're Abraham the father of nations. Glory to God. See, we're looking at, well, I can't have this because this isn't in place and this isn't there. God's already looking past the lack. He's already looking beyond the hindrance and he sees your life changed because he's looking at the blessing. The blessing. You know, he's telling Abraham, listen, that blessing isn't going to let you stay childless for long. That blessing is not going to keep you under. That blessing is going to change this famished land. Glory to God. So after all these things, go to Genesis 15:1. And so now Abraham has a natural question that a lot of us would have. He says, basically, Lord, how do I know you're going to do these things? How do I know? So I'll ask you that question. How do you know that God's going to do these things? Well, God is going to answer that question for him. Watch this. We'll start in verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, who's the same as Abraham, in a vision saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? So he has this guy who's going to be his heir. But see, God said, no, you're going to have some other heirs. Do we have any heirs here today? Come on. Eleazar didn't get the inheritance. Tim Stallman got the inheritance. Your name got the inheritance. Come on now. Do you see yourself in these verses? Yeah, and now look at this. He says in verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, this shall not be your heir. That church in Jamestown, New York will be your heir. Remember, we're heirs according to the promise. Now, of course, we weren't the first ones to inherit it, nor are we the only ones. Any church that calls upon Christ, amen. But I'm just using it to apply to your life, right? All right, he said, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be your heir. Boy, God talks. All right, okay. All right, he's like, nah, Eleazar's not going to inherit your blessing. Someone else is going to inherit your blessing. It's going to be your own flesh and blood child. All right, verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad, meaning the Lord brought Abraham forth, and said, look now toward the heavens or the skies, and tell the stars if you be able to number them. He said unto Abraham, so shall your children be. So many of them, one man will not be able to count them. Hallelujah. Here we are. God did it. God did it. He said it'd be innumerable. How many Christians are on this earth right now? Do you know? They're innumerable. How many have been on this earth since Jesus rose again? 1 billion? 2 billion? Innumerable. When you look up at the stars at night, I mean, how many are up there? You don't know. All right, in the same way, God said, so will be the children of Abraham. They will not be able to be numbered. God did it. All right, there he is talking about us. Amen. And then verse 6, and it says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and it counted unto him for righteousness. Notice, he believed what God said. Abraham wasn't just believing that God existed. That's not faith. Faith is believing what God said or what God promised. Some people say, oh, I believe in God. Well, God, doesn't. It doesn't go like that. The Bible says demons believe that God exists. All right. And so now verse 7, and he said unto him, the Lord says unto Abraham, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Here's the question that we all ask God. How will I know? How will I know? Okay? You could say it this way. Abraham is asking God for a sign. Lord, give me a sign that you will be faithful to me in everything you promised. Listen up now. Okay? Now, the Lord, we're not going to look, we're going to keep going here in a second, but we know this. The Lord did not say, well, Abraham, you will know because next Tuesday a camel is going to walk by your tent. But we live in a day and a time where people are asking God to give them a sign. Lord, if you want me to take this job, you know, the boss will drive a blue car, or Lord, if you want me to walk in that healing, then, you know, you're going to bring this to happen, or you're going to do this, and this is going to show up at a certain day. How many of you know God does not give you a sign? Jesus said, an evil and wicked generation seeks after a sign. Remember what he said to the Pharisees? Asking God to prove what, you know, he's going to do for you. But the Lord Jesus, he said, but no sign shall be given this generation except that of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the whale of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the center of the earth and shall rise again on the third day. All right? Praise the Lord. So now when he says, Lord, how will I know? What's the sign? God doesn't say, I'm going to send a camel. He didn't say, I'm going to, you know, send some guy who's going to talk to you. Watch what he does. Watch this. Maybe you never understood why God does the way things the way he does. You're going to get some answers for your life right here. You ready? And God said, all right, you want to have a sign? Here it is. Take me a heifer, all right, female cow of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle and a young pin, a turtle dove, not a turtle. Big difference. A turtle. Got my ram, my heifer, and my tortoise. My tortoise. No, a turtle dove, which is a small bird, and a young pigeon. All right. Okay, so the Lord says, all right, now take these animals. Sounds kind of strange to us. All right, but hold on. You're going to see, why does God do what he does? Now remember, he's doing this in response to Abraham's question, how will I know? How will I know? How will I know? And look at verse 10. And Abraham took unto him all these animals. He divided them in the middle, or cut them in half. Ooh. And laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. So do you see what's going on? So he's got this heifer, which is a big animal. He's got this ram. He's got the birds. He takes the bigger animals. He cuts them in half. A little messy, you know. And he separates the halves. So there's like a 4 or 5 foot walkway in between these animals. All right. And so the divided halves, and guess what runs together? Blood from this side, blood from this side comes together. All right. Now remember, this is the answer of why God's going to be faithful to do what he promised. All right. And I will spare the big, long theological teaching, but what did those two sides represent? It represented the blood of God and the blood of man coming down and meeting in the middle. All right? Remember, this is why you know that he's going to be faithful to you. Okay? And it says, Abraham drove away the birds, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, we're not talking about a horror movie or something, you know, scary like that. It's talking about a great wonder, or a great sign and a wonder, a miracle fell upon Abraham as he slept. Verse 13, and he said, Abraham, know of a surety that your seed, so you're going to have a son, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That was Israel in Egypt, by the way. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I'm not going to go into explain all that right now. Verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces of animals. Now, we see the term lamp and a burning furnace. We have a different picture in our mind. What it actually says in the Hebrew is a burning flame. Abraham is sitting there. It's getting dark. He has this vision where the Lord says, know of a surety, Abraham, your seed will have this land. They'll be afflicted for 400 years by Egypt, but after it, I'm going to bring them out with great substance and power, right? Amen. And then when the sun was going down, all of a sudden Abraham looked, and this flame of fire is walking down that path between the blood of God and the blood of man. Remember, this is to answer Abraham's question, why is God faithful? He's faithful because of the blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant. He says, Abraham, from this day forward, if you ever have any doubts about what I said I would do for you in your life, remember the blazing flame of fire that walked in the blood this day. If you ever have any doubt, remember how the blood of man and the blood of God came together to fulfill this promise. Who is the Son of Man and the Son of God? Jesus. Why did God bring Jesus to this earth? To perform for us the oath of the covenant, where the blood of God and the blood of man would meet at that cross. And he said, by this shall you always look back and never question again why God's going to do for you what he said he's going to do. Because on that day with Abraham, a flame of fire walked between the blood, but on the day of the resurrection, Christ walked out of that tomb. He walked out of hell. He walked, amen, and he bridged the gap between God and man. Why do I know that God's going to be faithful? Because he cut the blood of the covenant. Jesus, you could say, you know, in figurative speaking, was cut in half. You know what I mean? Not literally speaking, but that blood was shed. That, you know, the blood of sinful man and the blood of righteous God came together to answer that question for all time. How do I know? How do I know that God's going to do it? Because that's why we quote Romans 8:32 around here all the time. Can you bring it up for us? Romans 8:32. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. In what? The covenant. The covenant. That the blessing of Abraham would come down on us. He spared not his own son. It's not the blood of a cow, the blood of a ram, or birds. The blood of Jesus was shed so that if you ever have any doubts of what God's intentions are for you, you look back there and say, oh yeah, he spared not his own son. I'm in, by that blood, I'm brought into the covenant. Now, as a child of Abraham, how shall he not with Christ freely give me all things? The covenant has been cut. Listen, he didn't just walk through the blood in a flame of fire for you and me. He walked through the fire for you and me. Amen. Glory to God. You know, when I think about, you know, Father God, you know, what is the foundation of my faith? Why do I know that God's going to respond to me? Because the blood. Because that blood was shed. And because of that blood went into God's presence ahead of you and me to give us access to him. Hallelujah. Father, I am healed, the healed of the Lord, because the blood of the covenant was cut. I am, Father, fully funded and never troubled. Why? Because the blood of the covenant was cut for me. Am I gonna get help? What am I gonna get a new job? Am I gonna get, you know, am I gonna get healed? Am I gonna get this? Am I gonna get that? He spared not his own son, but he cut him in half for you. Literally, I mean, you know, not literally, you know, Jesus was not literally, but we're talking about how it was represented, you know, when those animals, that blood of animals, it represent the coming, blood of the Savior. And so many times, God's people, they want a sign. God gave you one. He gave you one. He said, by this you'll know that on the third day I'll raise my son from the grave. Some of you today are acting like that's not good enough for you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I just go to God and I just ask him. And if it happens, great. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. See, no. Then you're going to God without knowledge. I'm going before God as part of the line or the lineage of Abraham that he promised. What is God doing? He's raising up the children of Abraham. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they were all crying out. And, you know, some people, you know, the Pharisees said, hey, be quiet. And Jesus said, yeah, if you're going to keep these ones quiet, even the stones will cry out, because God is able of this gravel to raise up the children of Abraham. It's what God has always been doing. It is what he is still doing on this earth. He's being faithful to Abraham's family. But let me ask you something. Have you ever spoke to God in that kind of language? I mean, when you pray, is it just, "Dear Heavenly Father, I ask for this, I ask for that"? Do you come before him and say, "Father, here I am, a child of Abraham, a child of the living God. I am the seed of this covenant. You are my covenant father. I am your covenant child. You cut the blood of your son where the two sides came together. Therefore, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from sin. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from poverty and lack. I'm redeemed from all that stuff, from depression and anxiety." Boy, some of you act like you just don't care. Oh, you better care. You better care. Praise the Lord. All right. How will I know, Lord, that you're going to do it? Because Jesus is alive. See, when you got saved, it was more than you just acknowledging that you, you know, needed to have your sins washed and you're going to heaven. It was you, and ultimately, God wants his people to believe and to know that was that blood of the covenant. That is what he did with Abraham thousands of years before, all right, to give Abraham his answer that would eliminate any doubt in the future. Any doubt in the future, he gave us a sign. He's not going to make a green car drive by at the right time. He's not going to, you know, bring a blonde-haired person to talk to you on a Wednesday. You know, so many things. Lord, how will I know? How will I know? Some people will say to me, "But Gideon put out a fleece." Yeah, because Gideon did not have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of him. Amen. You know. Don't you? Oh my goodness! I've heard so many stories. I've heard denominations that teach their preachers, "How do I know if I'm called to the ministry? Put out a fleece." You know, I heard one preacher, he said this, "I'm going to put a plastic bag on a tree stump out back. If the wind blows it off of it, I will be called to ministry, and if it's there in a day, I'll know that I'm not." Well, guess what? It was a windy day. So he jumped into ministry, got his life just absolutely hammered and destroyed. You don't put out a fleece. You hear from the Heavenly Father. The Holy Ghost leads us from the inside. They didn't have that in Gideon's day. You have to know and understand that. Praise the Lord. Go before God with the knowledge of the covenant. Say, "But Pastor, you've said this before." But see, the reason why we're emphasizing it again is because, are you doing something about it? Do you pray with this knowledge? And I know in the days of the seeker-sensitive movement, even in some Word of Faith circles, you know, you'll never even hear about the covenant of Abraham. But again, it's what the entire, or we should say 95% of what the Bible is about. God being faithful to Abraham's kids. That's me. But Lord, how will I know? Because I'll cut the blood of the covenant. Amen. So why are you going to receive? Because Jesus rose again. Because Jesus rose again. Because he proved to the world just how faithful he is. Aren't you glad to be in this family line? Oh, praise the Lord. I was going to go back into Genesis 12, Genesis 13. We don't have time for that. You know, I'm not going to start a whole secondary sermon like maybe times in the past where I have. But isn't it good to be the redeemed of the Lord? The covenant. You need that word. You need that understanding. Not so you sound churchy enough, you know, but when you talk to God, you speak to him. "Here I am. Father, I know you're faithful to Abraham's seed. I know you'll do it because you cut the blood of the covenant." Abraham didn't even see those animals didn't even raise again for Abraham, and he believed. The blood of our covenant came back to life. He rose again, went into the Holy of Holies, presented his own blood, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, and now forever lives to make intercession at the throne of God for us. This covenant is good. This covenant is good. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this here today? Well, let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. Lord, there's so much more that we could add on, but that's what we have next Sunday for. Father, you're faithful and good. Lord, you promised Abraham over 4,000 years ago that you'd be faithful to him. You said you'd make a nation out of him. You did. You said that you would bless him. You did. You said that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Here we are. You said that you would put his seed in every nation on the earth. You did it. You said that through him would come a Savior, and he came. Lord, you said that the Savior would bear our sins, and he did, and deliver us from poverty, lack, fear, depression, and from sickness and disease, and he did. Lord, you said that he would raise again on the third day, and he did. Lord, you said that those that are of faith in Christ are the children of Abraham, that they've inherited the blessing. Here we are. That blessing causes us to rise to the top. That blessing cannot be sunk in a world that we live in. Father, we love you. We praise you. And Father, I thank you for a church that is filled with this knowledge. Because, Father, at the end of the day, we know that the answer to everything is this blessing. Father, we thank you. Whether it's a financial need, we can say, I'm blessed. Father, whether it's a physical need, we can say, I'm blessed. If our marriage needs help, we can say, I'm blessed. Father, if it's an attack in our mind, we're blessed. Whatever it is, needs in this life, we're blessed. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. And this is the foundation of why we believe. You're faithful. Glory to you, Father. We love you. We praise you. We know this pleases you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, before we dismiss today, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you gone to God? Have you done what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice that verse gives us simple instruction how to get saved. It's not hard to do. You say, well, Pastor, what's the catch? It's real simple. Just be sincere. Just mean it with God, and he'll mean it with you. He always means it with you. And so if you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I were to die today, if I'd be in heaven or if I'd be lost in a place called hell. Hell does exist, but I've got good news. So does heaven. God did not make hell for you. He made heaven for you. He sent a Savior 2,000 years ago to be a curse, to take that curse off your life and to put the blessing of God on your life. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And so if you are unsure, get sure today. And if that's you, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm not going to make you stand up today. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to, you know, gather you together and send you all in a room to talk with church leaders or something like that. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart, and I know I need to be saved. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you've never given your heart or your life to Jesus? If that's you, could you lift your hand? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God's got a plan for you. He wants to bring you into this covenant. And I know if you're newer, you hear these words like Abrahamic covenant, and you say, man, how does this apply to my life? It applies because God made a plan thousands of years ago thinking about you. Thinking God made a plan to get blessing on your life, to save you from sin, to restore your life. That's what this is about. And the way into that blessing is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. He's the door. He's the entrance into this life with God. And so if you're here today, is there anyone else that you'd say, Pastor, I know I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. It's not a family church idea. You're not signing up for anything here. You understand this is the Bible's idea. Well, we had a couple of hands, and so what we're going to do, we're going to lead this entire congregation in a prayer. If you lifted your hand, you know, we're all going to be praying together, so you won't be the only one, but speak these words out of your mouth. Mean them with your heart. Just be as sincere as you know how. You're not performing a ritual. You're not talking to me. You're talking to the Lord, and he will hear your prayer. Everyone go ahead, pray these words with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Isn't it wonderful to see new people coming to Christ in our services? It's just so wonderful. Hey, I just want to make you aware, if you're one of the ones that just prayed, I want to encourage you, again, not mandatory, but how many of you know if you receive Jesus, mean business about it, right? We have a little salvation card there in the seat pocket in front of you. It's just attached to this little flyer. It's just perforated. You can just remove it from that. And it just says, today I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You can just mark that box, put your name on it. We don't use this for any other purpose but to give you an opportunity to just, you know, show God that you mean business with him. And then after service dismisses, I will be up front, or we have ushers in the back. You know, you can find me, find Pastor Brad, find an usher, or leave it face down on the seat, whatever. You know, just fill out this card. It's kind of like just a declaration between you and the Lord that, hey, you're my Lord and Savior, and I'm not ashamed to write it down. Amen. And so you can do that. It's just a great first step to get bold with God. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Well, I tell you what, I love my church family. You're hungry for the word. Folks, there are great breakthroughs ahead for this church. Folks, I'm telling you, you know, and there's things I can't, you know, discuss at the moment, but there are things in the works. And again, we don't have a timetable for stuff, but I'll tell you what, we, and of course not the only ones by any means, but this church, I thoroughly believe it, is going to be used to put the gospel in the hands of every single human being in this region. All right, not just through church services, but through outreaches, through media, through publications, stuff that is coming in the days ahead. We got a little taste of it today. All right, there's people being blessed on the other side of the globe here today because of the faithfulness right here, okay? How much more of that is there to come in our future? Amen. Let's give God all the glory. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you today. Father, we love you. We praise you. We are the children of Abraham. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. And we are blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.